Today's episode, Ohio State, Michigan is here. Can they rent Jim Harbaugh the Goodyear blimp? Does Florida State need style points and Popeyes for your Thanksgiving dinner?
Time now for the College Football Inquirer with Dan Wetzel.
Every person on your campus is wireless. You can't find one kid walking across your campus without earbuds in, but we can't figure out how to have a guy call a play 50 feet.
Ross Dellinger.
The championship game thing is going to be, I think, a hotter conversation in the next couple of years. I mean, I think that a lot of leagues would give it up, except one league.
And SI's Pat Forty.
You're going to Popeyes in Scottsbluff, Nebraska, Romulus, Michigan. I mean, what are you really getting? How Cajun is your Cajun turkey there?
Here's Pat, Russ, and Dan.
All right, welcome to the pod, and it is Thanksgiving week, and it is hate week. Love this sport. Thanksgiving is generally, like, the best holiday we have because there's only a few holidays that the majority of people celebrate. And it's the holiday for everybody, right? It's not this religion or that religion or this, like it's everywhere. You eat, you watch football, family gets together. Yeah, you can listen to like some of your family members. Sometimes that causes some mayhem in houses, but you know, right? Generally positive feelings on Thanksgiving. Am I in agreement here?
Yes, mm-hmm. Absolutely. There's less stress involved. You're not running around shopping and wrapping and dealing with traffic and stuff. You're mostly at home hanging out with people you ostensibly like.
Pick up a pie, right? That's and anybody can do it. Yeah. All good. All good. And then this sport that we love decides to throw in a heavy dose of hate by staging all of its most heated and hated rivalries and the most personal ones, the ones that you're more likely to have to sit across the table from a cousin who went to the other school or an uncle who just won't start taunting you. Like, you know what? You know how many like stuffing plates are going to get thrown at each other in Toledo this weekend? It's going to get ugly.
The stuffing will fly in Toledo and various other spots in Ohio and Michigan.
I think it's just fantastic that college football takes, you know, maybe the one, I don't know, the one that really brings everyone together. New Year's, 4th of July is very good, but that's also a pretty popular one. But, you know, we just say, let's all hate each other. So here we are. It's hate week.
Well, and that's the family dynamic, right? What's the one safe harbor? If you're with family that maybe there's going to be political tension, we don't talk about politics. Instead, we talk about sports.
Yes.
Oh, wait a minute. What if half the room is Auburn and half the room's mm-hmm. Alabama? Half mm-hmm. the room's Florida and half Florida State. All of a sudden, danger.
And do they even try in Mississippi, Ross? Do they just give no. the egg bowl? No.
No, no. There's not a lot of trying there, and the Egg Bowl for so long was on, and you know, still is, obviously got put back on Thanksgiving.
Yeah,
so Thanksgiving usually in, like, I'm going back home to the Mississippi coast for Thanksgiving this year, and we'll be having the Egg Bowl on, and roughly half of my family is Ole Miss and half of them are Mississippi State, and there's like a little 1/10 that is Southern Miss. So they're happy usually on Thanksgiving, but everybody else is warring.
Ready to shank each other, yeah. Can I borrow the carving knife, Grandpa? Mm-hmm. Sometimes.
Well, and then the booze get flowing, and it's all downhill from there, really.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Sometimes Aunt Sally's got to get got, running her mouth, the rebels.
And Aunt Sally, too much trash talk.
So they asked Jim Harbaugh this week about how he would define his level of respect for Ohio State and their coaches.
Already referred what a question.
To Ryan Day as essentially coach third base, which was response to Ryan Day saying he'd run 100 up on him. and Harbaugh.
These two coaches don't seem to like each other, Dan.
I don't think they do. I don't think they do.
That's advanced. Hey, sources are telling the pod. That.
Sources yeah. say.
Deeply sourced information.
It's all about our preparation for Ohio, Harbaugh said. The days, the minutes, the hours, everything leading up to this game, that's where our focus is, preparing ourselves and planning. We're going to practice, then execute. Anything else is irrelevant when it comes to this big game week. And I can tell you back in the Jim Tressel and Lloyd Carr days, the gentler era of Ohio State, Michigan, they would talk nicely about each other.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you could really hate Lloyd Carr.
It'd be hard.
Tressel, I find hard to hate also, but there'd be a little bit. But yeah, like they'd get out there and, you know, one would have like a sweater vest and one would have a cardigan or something. Right? It was the sweater bowl. Mm-hmm. Not anymore.
No.
So this is the game. We've been waiting all year. Before we even get to the matchup, college football, obviously the playoff is expanding, which would make this weekend way more interesting. It's really only a couple games that have much going for it. It will make this thing way more interesting. But also divisions are going away, even though leagues are expanding. And the one thing that we are losing is in this division bit, I'm not so sure they don't bring these things back at some point, even though there's a lot of many, many arguments not to. But next year, you could conceivably have this game with Ohio State, Michigan, both sitting at 11-0 going, okay, whoever wins this week, great. We're meeting again in Indianapolis in 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is no longer a divisional match. And if you talk about devaluing the regular season, nothing will devalue the regular season. Like, would that just be awful? I would find that to just be so bad.
What if they met again in the playoff?
You could meet three times.
Yeah.
Meeting in the playoff, at least it's not the next week.
Yeah.
We've had Georgia and Alabama do this.
It could be 2 weeks later.
Could be 2 weeks, but it's not set. Georgia and Alabama have had rematches, right? And you're seeing it with Washington and Oregon, okay? Washington, if they beat Washington State this weekend, they have run through the league. But then they have to play Oregon again. Right. So it's already clunky. There's no good way. But I'm just thinking, like, when you know 2 weeks in a row, you are going to play somebody. I want to treasure this. Yeah. Last year they could have met in the finals, Ohio State, Michigan. And that's what we would have done. But it's different when it's like we have this. We're going to have an 18 team league and we've eliminated divisions because the Big Ten West can't get out. Can't walk fast and chew gum. I don't know.
Also, what about the tiebreaker issues we're seeing in the Big 12? That is something that we could see more of, right? The Big 12 is a 14 team league right now.
They have 270 scenarios.
Yeah, imagine an 18 team Big 10 tiebreaker situation. I will say this, like the Big 12, this is, I mean, somewhat an anomaly, I think, because there's so much parity in that league. Like they're all bunched together. You just don't have that. And I don't think you have that as much in the SEC and Big Ten and even in the ACC, of course. But we're liable to see some of these tiebreaker situations come down that similar like this in the years to come. And that's going to be quite interesting because right now, yeah, I think they're down to 128 scenarios down in the, we're in the last week. 128 scenarios going into the last week. If Texas wins on Friday and beats Texas Tech, the scenarios drop pretty quickly. And Oklahoma State kind of controls its destiny if they win, and it'll be Oklahoma State and Texas. Texas gets upset on Friday, and we're looking at a pretty crazy, crazy Saturday of Big 12 tiebreaker stuff.
Yeah, and again, this is one of the problems where the conference gets so big that people don't play each other, and it's just to the point, yes, to where you get rid of divisions, and it's much harder to get to two teams at the end to play in a championship game. And also another reason not to have a championship game,
yeah.
which we've been saying for 100 years.
Yeah.
But they're going to keep having them, and it's going to be weirder and weirder getting to them via whatever method that we choose. And you're right. Like, I mean, the ACC is going to be 17 teams, right? And the Big Ten is going to be 18, and the Big 12 is going to be 16.
Yep, and the SEC 16.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And yeah,
the championship game thing is going to be, I think, a hotter conversation in the next couple of years. I mean, I think that a lot of leagues would give it up, except one league, maybe two leagues, right? Would not give up the championship game, because if college football is going to continue to evolve into this pro postseason style that we're seeing, then the championship games, I think there's going to be more and more of a conversation, a louder conversation to nix the championship games. I think there are a lot of coaches who think the championship should be settled in the regular season when you're in a expanded playoff format.
What? I mean, we've been saying this for years. Why? It was just rejected immediately out of hand. No, we're always doing it. We're always
money,
doing
money,
always
money.
I know, but how about thinking about what it's actually going to look like?
Yes. They don't think.
It's the regionality and what do we always call it of college sports in the country in general, right? It's like everybody is thinking about their own conference or their own school, and in this case, their own conference's money in the championship game. And you know, it's a lot of money in the SEC and in the Big Ten. It's a lot of money in ESPN, in Fox. I'm sure that they would have a say. You're going to eliminate this event that brings millions and millions of viewers to us and we pay you for?
I mean, I've argued get rid of the conference. You didn't need to expand the playoff. You need to reform the playoff. And that week is a playoff week. But
mm-hmm.
Like last year, there was only one game mattered. And that was USC losing to Utah.
Right.
Which I felt was inherently unfair because we asked USC to play more games than Ohio State. Ohio State was able to back in by not playing.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And I get it. Was Ohio State better than USC? Yes. So it's, you know, what's the dynamic? But you don't run a mile race and then say, okay, you four run an extra tenth of a mile. And if you don't finish at the same, whatever, but this guy could still beat you by running. It doesn't stack up. And so then you have, it's really an anticlimactic weekend most weekends.
Well,
now, next year, that will change. Go ahead, Ross.
No, you're about to say it. Next year, that'll change, right?
All these championship games will now matter.
Will matter for bye, yes. First round bye, which and is why a, I think auto bid. They put it in there.
Yeah, and an That's auto right. bid.
Mm-hmm.
So right. let's say Texas ends up playing Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State still has a game. It's now a play-in round. So I don't think we're getting rid of them. Without division, I look at this and say, okay, last few years, it's been Ohio State, Michigan, last game of the year. Winner goes the Big Ten championship game. There's not really a lot of competition, but whatever. There could be, right, with divisions. Now it could be literally we're playing Ohio State, Michigan this weekend in Ann Arbor, and then the next weekend in Indianapolis. That is a, like, sea change.
Yeah.
And it is by design, right? Like, it's not like, well, unfortunately, sometimes that will happen. It's like, no, that's why they've talked about moving this game off of the last Saturday. Now, I don't think mm-hmm. Fox is going to want that because this is the biggest TV game of the year. And is it the same if you play on November 3rd? But like, what a weird, it's just such a weird sport. They just can't, it just remains so disorganized. And so I'm going to appreciate this weekend and saying, it's not that it's unlikely the loser gets in because the way this season works. Last year, you could see the path very clearly. I mean, I remember sitting there going, oh, Ohio State still get in this thing real easy.
Mm-hmm.
It was still devastating to lose the game. So this isn't a true knockout game because we don't know what will happen. I think it is because I don't think Michigan would have enough, but whatever. But I like that at least we're not sitting there going, oh, let's do this twice. Let's play two. Because that's just weird.
Yeah.
How do you even play the game?
Yeah. Do you sandbag the first game knowing you're going to play again? Save all your good stuff for the second game? I mean, that would be complicated. It would. And weird. And that's, whenever we talked about this last year, that I would be fine with moving this game off of Thanksgiving weekend. It would hurt. It would be weird to do that. But I think playing back-to-back would be weirder.
I wouldn't want it to move far from late November, though.
Right.
Like, maybe the week before Thanksgiving. I don't know. It just, I love that everything builds to this.
Yeah.
I love that you build to, we're playing Ohio State last weekend. We're playing Florida State, Mississippi, right? This is our game.
Yep.
And even if we're not both good. The problem is these top teams are always good. But you need a little bit more Alabama Auburn, where sometimes Auburn's good. I don't know. Anyway, thoughts on this game, Pat?
Kind of a big one. Kind of a little bit of heat surrounding it. Just a little bit of depth of feeling.
Storylines.
Yeah, yeah. I wrote this week. I mean, you could certainly say that the 2006 game, which we talked about on the last podcast, was bigger. They were 1-2. Oh, Schembechler just died. The winner was going to the BCS championship game. The loser was almost certainly not, and that's exactly what happened. The 1973 game was huge. They were both undefeated. Ohio State was number one. Michigan was number four. They tied. And I think what happened after that kind of almost amplified the importance of that game in retrospect, where there was a controversial vote by the Big Ten that sent Ohio State to the Rose Bowl and sent Michigan home, because teams didn't go to bowl games back then other than the champion. But this is awfully big. This is awfully big, and there is so much heat surrounding it, given the Michigan Connor Stallion scandal and the absence of Jim Harbaugh, and Ohio State, whether Ohio State was involved in ratting out Michigan or simply was involved in pushing on Tony Petitti to suspend Jim Harbaugh. Or whatever. I mean, there is just, like, this has always been heated, but this takes it to a whole other level. I'm hoping the spirit of Thanksgiving friendliness can be in the air in Ann Arbor, but I wouldn't expect it. I think it's going to be ugly and nasty on Saturday.
I wonder if, I think I mentioned this maybe last week on the pod, but I really wonder if Ohio State is bringing more security to this game, especially for its head coach. I mean, we've all seen the things lobbed toward Ryan Day and the accusations against Ryan Day over the course of this saga over the sign stealing scheme. And I mean, yeah, it could get pretty ugly. We talked about it earlier about the gray skies and 35 degrees. It's just shaping up to be a wonderfully perfect Midwestern Thanksgiving weekend day. And I think entering the game against Maryland, Michigan's game against Maryland, I really thought, Michigan was going to handle Ohio State. And after the last few weeks in general, the way Michigan has played, but really the way Ohio State has played, I'm second guessing a little bit.
I do think that there's been like a fan base shift. 6 weeks ago, I think Ohio State fans were like, I don't know. Michigan fans riding high. 6 weeks later, Michigan fans are going, Ohio State fans are starting to ride a little higher. 3.5 points. Michigan is favored. It's going to be a low-scoring game. I don't know really what that means or not. A couple keys I see. One is Michigan needs Ladarius Henderson back at left tackle.
Mm.
They were unable to drop J.J. McCarthy back into a pass against Penn State. Now, they were able to run 32 straight times against Penn State and win. And if they are able to do that against Ohio State, they'll win. If you can run it every time and move the ball, you're never going to lose a game. pretty hard. I don't foresee that. But they have to have McCarthy being able to pass the ball, and Henderson is supposed to be back, but who knows? I think last year they had Blake Corum warm up before the game. And he most certainly was not playing. So believe me, the last thing we got to trust in this game is they would never practice some subterfuge with their injury report.
No, surely not.
Pretty much do anything at this point.
No,
they got guys.
No. Hopefully they'll run out somebody like A&M did again ahead of Mississippi State. Remember they ran out like a fake person, basically?
Yeah. Did you see that? Fake left-handed quarterback wearing, was it John? Which quarterback?
It was Connor Wegman, right?
Yeah, they
was
were wearing Connor, his Connor number. Wegman. Yeah. An imposter.
Coaches are so ridiculous.
And then the beat writers up in the press box were like, you know, they're looking through their binoculars like, wait a second, that's not Connor Wegman. They're like tweeting it out. Hey, this isn't Connor Wegman. Great.
Ran a fake Connor Wegman out there.
Yeah. How about that?
What do you like, comb campus? But hey, who's that guy over there under that tree? Standing there.
Who's the offensive coordinator at A&M? Oh, Bobby Petrino. That sounds like a Petrino maneuver.
Really was a great one. It's a fake Connor. It's a kid in my sociology class. Looks just like Connor. Can he throw it left-handed?
What if Ohio State dressed one of its support staffers like Stallions, get the mustache on and the glasses,
and in Central Michigan gear?
Oh, come on, man. It would be brilliant.
You know how they wear like purple? So the coach is doing the signals.
Yeah, yeah,
they stand
green
there.
And purple.
One's in purple, one's in like yellow. It's so ridiculous, right? Please just, can we, one way or another, however you feel about this, can we just put the damn things in the helmet? Every person on your campus is wireless. You can't find one kid walking across your campus without earbuds in, but we can't figure out how to have a guy call a play 50 feet. Walk across your campus, people. Every kid has got earbuds. Beats by whatever. Can we just do this? Anyway, they line them up. They should have them in different Central Michigan colors. Troller ass. And spy glasses.
They might. Don't put it past them.
That Jim McElwain look like him. Get that guy with the shark. Get the guy with the shark.
Oh, God.
Looks like Central Michigan coach Jim McElwain. Have him call. He can figure it out. That's what I want to see. That's what I want to see.
So, question for you. If Ryan Day does lose to an interim coach here, how bad is it?
Pretty bad, right? Pretty hot, I would guess. I mean, it's three in a row. I would guess that they that won't be a fun next few days, weeks, or months for Ryan Day. I mean, I think any loss third straight in this series, right,
I think Ryan is convinced. I think I'm not saying this in a negative way. Okay, I'm just trying to be factual. I think a large portion of the fan base is convinced Michigan beat them because of the place, the sign stealing.
Oh yeah,
sure.
And so he's got to get out of jail free. Because now you look back and you forget. Well, maybe it was Ojabu and Hutchinson were the problem.
Yeah,
like, you know, but if you watch those games, no doubt, and they, you know, and
the way
their sign stealing is on both sides, right? Michigan showed us all the signs that they say Ohio State sent to Purdue, which Ohio State says they didn't. So somehow Purdue wound up with Ohio State signs. The group chat, the I hate Go Blue group chat, apparently, in the Big Ten, which is perfectly okay. It's a completely reasonable. But I think he's convinced a lot of people. And if you go back and watch the games, I don't know. It's hard to say. They were close games, sort of. The second one was until the end, until the
second half. The second half was a beatdown.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess they didn't have the signs the first half.
That's right.
I don't know. I think he's got.
Well, I'm not saying he's going to get fired, but it would be an extremely uncomfortable existence.
Ryan Day is going to crush it going forward. Ohio State is so well positioned going forward. This is their hurdle. This is their speed bump, Michigan. And they may beat them this year. But Harbaugh, is he going to be there?
Right.
The Chargers are fading. The Chargers, there's a whole bunch of opportunities for Harbaugh. Is he going to be there?
In the looming penalties.
Looming
right?
penalties.
Probably like, multiple game suspensions next year.
Get out of here. Like, I don't want him to leave. And I think there's got to be a segment at Michigan. I know they've rallied, but it's almost embarrassing how hard they rallied for him. That are like Ohio State with Urban Meyer whatever, 4 years ago. It's just, I'm exhausted. Exhausted. You guys, these people wear us out. They're so intense.
Yep.
So, and anyway, you don't have to win them all. You get into a playoff. And Ohio State now is playing other teams in the country. They have loaded recruiting classes coming. They got so much talent. They're going to be able to recruit QBs off of C.J. Stroud. They find, what was the one thing about Ohio State? QBs never really develop at Ohio State. They're not any good. They got rid of Burrow. Well, not anymore. And now you're playing more playoff games in domes and down south and all that. And you can just be like, Michigan, yeah, it matters. It's always going to matter. But, you know, this is a team that got dominated in that second half by Michigan and almost beat Georgia.
Yeah. Yeah,
I would never fire Ryan Day right now. I think I don't even care.
I would not either. And I do think the element of light at the end of the tunnel is significant here, because there's going to be more opportunities to play for a championship. And I do, this has more and more of a feeling of like Harbaugh's last stand, so to speak, kind of like Tark at the end with UNLV. You can kind of see it coming. The weight of everything is there. The looming potential penalties in 2024, the potential program exhaustion from going through all of this, whether Harbaugh wants to keep going, you know, putting himself through the rigmarole of college investigations, or go back and coach where he's wanted to coach and done well in the NFL. And so This whole thing feels to me like Michigan, they have stopped the, I thought, truly embarrassing overreaction to this whole thing. And I think they're just coalescing around, let's just get through this season and try to win it all. We've got a chance. Let's get there. We'll sort it out sometime in January.
We talked about this on the pod before when we've discussed like Ryan Day and his future. You guys know how many Big Ten games that Ryan Day has lost?
Like two?
Two?
Two games. Yeah. He's 39-2, 56-6 overall record. It's remarkable what one game and a couple of losses in that game,
it's the game.
You know, yeah.
That's why they run around wasting, environmentally unsound, wasting tape. Crossing out every M on the campus.
What?
Ohio State this week.
What?
If it says like there's Mackenzie Hall, they'll get two pieces of red tape and they'll cross out the M, and it's just it's like a dorm or something. Whatever.
That's great. I didn't know that.
They just run around taping over the M and like the state
mechanical
of Ohio.
Engineering is now mechanical engineering.
It's can't do the M. It's why Urban, if you showed up in a blue shirt, like as an NFL scout to watch like spring workouts, like you got to go out to your car, get another different shirt. Like, yeah, it's crazy. It's the game. Ryan Day's going to win national championships. Ohio State's program is better than Michigan's program, I believe. They get better recruits. They have a longer run of sustained excellence. This has been a banner 2 years. For Michigan, 3 years, but can they keep? I think Michigan has enormous potential going forward because you can now. I'm not giving anyone a track record of 100% compliance, believe me, but you can now buy players.
Yeah.
And Michigan's got a ton of money. And as they organize and do things legally, they certainly, Michigan never was was rarely, if ever, waiting in the recruiting battles for the truly elite player. They rarely got those guys. Occasionally, there'd be somebody, but they weren't coming in. And a lot of times their best players had something, you know, Aiden Hutchinson's dad played at Michigan, right? Or something like that. Or they're from certain places. That can change. So I think a modernized Michigan, and I would even modernize it more than Harbaugh, could be truly elite at that elite level. But we've never seen Michigan be able to compete other than beating Ohio State these last 2 years at that level. We have seen Ohio State. So Ryan Day, I think, should be fine. But would this be embarrassing? Yeah. Would he hate it that Harbaugh then skips off? Yeah, that would be. And he's going to have a lot. You know, Harbaugh will not be able to help himself at some point.
Oh, no.
It'll be a quote. So I don't know. Interesting here, because we talked about this earlier in the year. I forgot about this story. Message Board Geniuses, one of our favorite Twitter follows, combs all the best message board posts. And here's one from the Wolverine, Michigan 99, well-known member. I've drafted an email to President Ono asking about the possibility of our head ball coach staying engaged with the team on Saturday without being on the sideline or at the venue technically. Because the venue, you can't be at the venue. That's the rule.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I assume the Goodyear blimp will be in use for the game. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. A game of this magnitude. Or possibly a flyover honoring the men and women serving the country. So do we have any donors that could pull some strings, get Jim up there with a headset down to the field press box?
I know one donor, Dan.
Yeah, Uncle T.
Uncle T.
Calling Uncle T.
Either by blimp or helicopter. I think this is a potential loophole that Day and Tony Petitti didn't think of in their ridiculous suspension handed down to Jim. Thanks, and always go blue.
Yes, a ridiculous suspension. That's not a ridiculous idea to get around it, though. Not at all. Perfectly logical.
Yes. By the blimp. Now, here's the problem. The Goodyear blimp is based in Akron, Ohio. Okay.
Yes.
And it is piloted, as we know, from Todd Jones's story it was Alumni Magazine at Ohio State, that it is manned by Ohio State grads. But that's there right. were those accusations. Remember, early in the year, Message Board Genius, I think it was a Clemson guy, said he saw the Goodyear blimp on a random weekday and he thought Ohio State was sending the blimp down to spy on practice.
Perfect.
So I forgot about the original 2023 Spygate.
Yeah.
So I don't think we're going to get the blimp. I got build your own blimp, Michigan. You guys build cars, build a blimp. Yeah. I don't know.
Are you committed or not? Get your own blimp over there with Harbaugh inside.
Anyway, good idea though to try. You got to ask, right?
Sure.
Or these poor presidents of schools. Imagine, like, I don't know how to run a university, but I imagine it's not that easy. University of Michigan's a big school, many departments, employees, and you're getting those emails. Dear President Ono.
Well, President Ono's been dashing off some emails and tweets of his own that make me
kind of encourage it, maybe. Yeah, I don't know. But still, crackpot emails to university presidents.
Yeah.
This is not what I signed up for. I have two PhDs or something.
Yeah, right.
And this is what I have to spend my time on.
It's one of the
physicist.
Not to go like 3,000 foot view, but what exactly what we're talking about is one of the most ridiculous and absurd things. I guess that makes college sports so unique, is that you have university presidents, like academics, fielding football's crazy sport fan emails. I mean, that it just doesn't make any sense.
Probably from many of them who did not attend the university.
Yeah. Yeah. Somehow it just doesn't make sense for major college athletics to be tethered to higher education, does it?
All right. Any more thoughts? We'll pick this game on the Race for the Case, which will come out a little later this week.
Yep. I absolutely cannot wait. This is going to be incredible theater drama. I hope it's a great game.
Yeah. I do hope it's a very competitive game. Either whatever happens, it's going to be like, oh, like any scenario is just like, oh, that's good. That's delicious.
Yeah, for once the Hacks will win. We cannot lose. Like,
cannot
there's
going
to be stuff to write.
Can't write this story. You can't write.
Yep.
All right. There's a couple other big games, but I want to talk about Florida State at Florida. And this was we touched on it the last pod because it was recent. But with the Cardale Jones. We'll get to Cardale Jones. Jordan Travis getting injured. Florida State heads to Florida on Saturday. The Seminoles are unbeaten But there is definitely traction to the idea. Maybe people are just bored and wanted to talk about something other than Michigan, Michigan State. But does Florida State have to show not just win these last two games, but win with style? It's painful to even suggest. I hate this, but this is what we have with a four-team playoff. You can't just win all your games and then be crowd champion. Style points and proof that they can win without their great quarterback who is now gone for the year. The way Ohio State proved they could be dominant to the committee when Cardell Jones stepped in 2014 and they destroyed Wisconsin in the Big Ten championship game. Is just winning enough? Or is Florida State at risk with all these very competitive, top-heavy a bit of getting left out by a one-loss team? Pat?
Yes, I think it's possible. I mean, at least if I were Florida State, I would be concerned. I'd be going in thinking, we do not just need to win in the swamp. We've got to win impressively and effectively, and then we've got to turn around and do it again against Louisville in the ACC championship game to show that we are still as good a team as we would have been with Jordan Travis. I think that was vital to getting Ohio State in 2014, and I think it will be important for Florida State here. As you mentioned, there's too many other contenders right now. Maybe things weed themselves out, and you're okay just winning two games and getting to 13-0 and enough of the competition has removed itself, but I really doubt that's going to be the case. I mean, it feels very strongly like we're going to have undefeated Washington and one-loss Oregon playing. It seems highly likely we're going to have one-loss Texas in the Big 12 championship game. We already know, well, we assume Alabama and Georgia are getting to Atlanta 12-0 and 11-1, so there's just going to be a pileup there that you can't all of a sudden look like a wounded team, even if you're a wounded team.
You know, I think if Texas was undefeated, then I would have a real worry if I was Florida State, right? Because all the five leagues would have an undefeated team vying for a spot, four spots. And I think in that situation, if they all ended up undefeated, Florida State is probably strength of schedule combined with the injury situation is probably the team that's left out. I would be stunned, even if Florida State won by 1 point against Florida in Louisville, if an undefeated ACC champion Florida State would be left out for a one-loss Texas or a one-loss even a one-loss Oregon, I would be surprised.
What about one-loss Georgia?
Yeah, that's the nightmare scenario for them. That is. That is like the nightmare scenario is Alabama upsetting Georgia. And I still think that would be surprising to me. I just do. I still don't think the committee would pull that trigger there and keep out an undefeated team. But certainly, with the Jordan Travis injury, I think it's as important as ever for the Seminoles to win and win convincingly to make sure if that nightmare scenario does happen, and there's probably a couple of them, right? If Alabama beats Georgia and if Oregon like beats Oregon State convincingly and beats Washington convincingly, then you know I think there's going to be Oregon is. You know, I mean, playing as well as anybody. So,
well, what about if Washington loses that, you know, incredible game at the kick and Penix is incredible? Mm-hmm.
That's right. That's
and,
right.
And you sit there and go, they already beat Oregon. Like, if you just reverse the results, they've beaten all these teams. Like, this is the problem. I don't like the 4-team playoff. I never liked it. It was designed by people who didn't want to create a playoff, so they created a bad one. This probably won't happen, but I hate it because to me, I said this originally in 2014 when Barry Alvarez and the whole committee was all excited at how well they played with Cardell Jones and they gave Ohio State a bump over TCU and Baylor that year. And part of the reason was because they were so good with their third string quarterback, which is inherently unfair because if your first string quarterback doesn't get hurt, you don't have a chance to show.
Right.
So there's like logic goes out the window at the end. and it's just emotion and feeling. And so that's the stuff that bothers me about the committee. That said, Ohio State was really good and they won the national title. I also think this, there's been 9 championships. Twice we've had a backup quarterback win it. Hayes and Jones, I'm sorry, Cardale Jones in 2014 and Tua Tagovailoa in 2018.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Comes in at halftime, but he's the backup. Yeah. You'll go, oh my God, they benched him. It's different, but we've seen a back. It's not like these guys recruit bad players.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God.
It's a bit of a different deal.
It is a different deal, but what I'm saying is teams can be better with their backup.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, it's not some, like, we got this skinny knob-kneed friend, can't even keep his socks up. Who's this guy? Right. Cardale Jones is a 4th round pick, played a few years in the league, hung around. Like, he's a good player. And Ohio State with Barrett out, and this is the one mistake Urban made in the field. They just rode Ezekiel Elliott.
Yeah.
Against Alabama and against Oregon, he ran for 476 yards and 6 touchdowns. Just kept giving his Zeke.
Yeah, he was completely unstoppable.
And he's Ezekiel Elliott, one of the best, you know, I mean, he doesn't have the longevity of an NFL, one of the greatest NFL ever, but at his peak, as good as anybody's ever been. And so I hate the idea like, well, we think Jordan Travis is better. I hate this, but I don't know. At the end of the day, would you possibly sit there and say a 1-loss Washington or a 1-loss Georgia, who both lost, is better than a limping in Florida State team? And I don't know how you do it.
Well, it is. If it comes to that, it's going to be difficult. That's the thing here. Like, Florida's bad. All right. Florida's in disarray. They
Mertz
can beat.
Out.
Yeah. Mertz is out. They can beat Florida with their backup quarterback with Rademacher. Louisville's pretty good. And if Florida State can beat a top 10, 11-1 Louisville, that's with whoever your quarterback is, that's a very good win. And so that would help them more than the usual ACC championship game where you're playing, you know, an 8-4 Coastal Division champion. So they could still get a decent bump out of that.
Yeah. This
wild.
I don't know. It kind of make a little bit of the mockery of the committee if they leave out a undefeated Power 5 champion, I think, for a team with 1 loss. And I know they always say there's always an argument, you know, resume versus best team and all this stuff. Again, and I said it, I think I've talked about this a few weeks ago when I went and did the seat mock CFP in Dallas, and you got to sit in the chairs and you get to see exactly how the committee works and what they analyze and all these stats and all these game control and points per game and all this stuff they look at. And it's all just really stupid. And I just try to look at the win and loss column. Maybe who you played also is factored in, but like, there's got to be something for on-the-field success and going undefeated, even though the ACC is down. I don't know. Hopefully, we won't have to be talking about this next year. You know, if you win your league, you're in the playoff, you know?
Yeah. So. There should be a scenario where you start the season, if you win all your games, like every other sport on earth, if you never lose, you're the champ.
That's right.
Pretty simple concept. Not college football, but that's all right. I don't know. That could be pretty wild. All right, Ross, you've got a story on some developments with the Power 5 and the future of college football. Thought we'd get to.
Yeah. You know, not the greatest week, Thanksgiving rivalry week for this, but the Knight Commission, which is a group of former and current college athletic administrators who are out, kind of a reform think tank group. They met on Friday here in D.C., and they had a couple of panelists who were interesting. They had Damon Evans, Maryland athletic director, formerly of Georgia. And then they had Kevin White, who was Duke's athletic director, Notre Dame's athletic director, Tulane. He was at 6 schools over 40 years. He recently retired. And you know, these two men spoke to the committee pretty direct and blunt. Some of their, I think, quotes are pretty jarring. They said a lot of the quiet part out loud. In a Big Ten sitting AD and a former, you know, highly respected AD in Kevin White, who still is in college athletics with a consulting group, they, you know, they know some stuff, right? And their word should be not taken with a grain of salt. And so there are some interesting quotes. We have a story up at Yahoo Sports on this. But basically, you know, for the most part, to boil it down, within a few years, in maybe even a few months, who knows, the Power Four conferences will operate under a new governance structure and will have revenue sharing. That's what Damon Evans said, just quite frankly, to the committee. And Kevin White chimed in with the fact that in the role that he's in with the consulting group, he has sat in on meetings where revenue sharing in Power Five split models have been seriously vetted and are being seriously considered by college leaders. And you might ask, why now? Like, why, you know, because this has been something, I mean, Pat wrote, I remember about over a year ago, Jack Swarbrick, I think I said this to Pat about, hey, the split's coming, you know, and we've heard it a lot. We haven't heard it publicly a ton from really high leaders, except Jack was one of the big ones, I know, a year and a half ago. But now we're getting into the stage of the next step of this, which is really seriously vetting models of what a revenue sharing model would look like for potentially the schools that can afford it, right? Which are the top 50, 70, 80, whatever, however many. And I think that's the news here, I guess, is that we're taking college athletics is taking the next step in that and looking at some of these models. So that's kind of the gist. You know, one thing we talked about this off air, one thing that Kevin White did say is, you know, college athletic leaders like him and like so many others, I think, are starting to look back and say, oh, we effed up. Right. And he didn't say that exactly. But he said, I'm indicting everyone, including myself, for the position that college athletics
indicting
is
me
currently in.
Everyone, not the College Football Inquirer.
So it was interesting. So,
yeah, well, it's funny how stances can change. You know, obviously this is the next major frontier in what happens, how it all breaks down, shakes down, how it looks, who's in charge. And my eternal question, what happens to all the other sports? Those are the two things I want to know. I am perfectly fine with players getting a just due out of all this, but I want to know how it's going to work for every other sport outside of football.
Yeah, they want to too. That was Damon Evans talked about that pretty extensively. He was concerned about what happens to the Olympic sports in this model. And Kevin White kind of used some interesting words to describe any kind of Power Five split, because he says, you know, there are various models with different resource attachments to how this might work. And I think one of them certainly is the Power Five leaving and taking all of the resources. As Kevin White said, that approach would be devastating, he said, in nuclear. I want to read one quote by Damon Evans. I've not seen an AD, certainly not a Big Ten or like an SEC AD, say this publicly, say something like this. This is Damon Evans to the Knight Commission. I used to be one of those ADs saying, we don't have the money to do that. At the University of Maryland, it's challenging to make ends meet, but a student athlete might look at us and say, just reallocate the funds. I've come to grips with that. We've made decisions to spend money on certain things that have gotten us into the trouble we are in today.
Did he elaborate on what the certain things were?
Well, that was talked. Yes, that was talked about. Obviously, salary, coaching salaries is
facilities,
is probably at the top
coaching
of the list.
Salaries, staff.
Yeah, I mean,
or
it, by the way,
too many sports
the night-
that are drafting off of your labor.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's part of it too, I mean, right? It, you know, these the facilities, coaching salaries, and it subsidizes all these Olympic sports. One thing the Knight Commission did release, and they released this a few weeks ago, I think, but it's really interesting. I don't know, I don't remember us discussing it on the pod. They estimate, the Knight Commission, that the public, Power Five public schools, there's 54 of them, will spend nearly as much on coaching salaries, $1.36 billion, as they will on athletic scholarships. Yep. All athletic scholarships, football salaries, versus all athletic will surpass or almost surpass all athletic scholarships by 2032. So roughly.
Yeah. And all the coaches are crying that the world is ending.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I will recommend for podcast listeners, if you want to view the YouTube version, look at Wetzel's eyebrows as Ross is describing this and watch Wetzel's look of mock surprise as he's hearing these words from.
They could have just tuned into the pod a few years ago. Huh?
I told them they paid consultants. They paid how much of their budget? How many field hockey teams get funded with all the money they wasted on lobbyists, lawyers, consultants?
Right.
You're fighting a stupid war. It's such groupthink, and they get further down, and then they get boxed into a corner, and then they're screwed. And it was so obvious it was coming, and it was so obvious their position made no sense. It was never going to work. But they just do it, and then they go, well, we're in trouble now. Yeah, that's why you don't fight that war. It's just, you know, it's disappointing because there are going to be winners and losers on this that didn't some of them didn't necessarily need to be. And, you know, their problems were, they do not address the core problems. They listen to complaining coaches. Or they worry about what they got, and it's overwhelming. There's a lot of ADs who over the last 5-6 years I've talked to and like, you're right, but we can't make that movement, and no one can have an honest discussion. Pat and I can, we disagree on this, but like, sorry if your team gets cut, you don't make any money. That's my position. I get it. If I try to be try to work at NCAA, I'd be stoned to death, right?
That can be a problem, yeah.
Yes, but that's not reality. You're just not facing reality. Mm-hmm. You're going to keep going, we got enough money for all this. Like, no, you don't. Just because you took the football players' money to fund this sport for the last 50 years doesn't mean it gets to be, it's an inalienable right to keep doing it. And so you at least have to have this conversation, and they won't have the conversation.
Well,
because it's taboo.
You know,
so how are you going to solve it?
There's two ways out of the dilemma, basically. One, you cut sports, or two, you pare back the football empire, salary caps or whatever the case may be.
Mm-hmm.
So you can choose which one. As Dan said, we are on opposite sides of probably which way we would like to see that break down. But
at least we discuss it, honestly.
Yeah, well, yeah. Yeah.
Right? I respect Pat's opinion on it. But at least we discuss it that, we can't talk about that. Like, why? You guys, so let's try some wild ass plan of get guardrails and all right. Like, what are you guys doing?
Guardrails was brought up.
I'm sure.
In my commission meeting.
Let's get Congress to solve the problem.
They want a special exemption. Remember Jack Swarbrick's suggestion that, it's time to revenue share and collective bargaining. You told me last month, but they need a special exemption so that athletes will remain employees. I think a lot of these models that Kevin White mentioned would require some kind of congressional special exemption. And the problem is there's a lot more stuff going on for Congress.
And a special exemption might work if you went in up front and said, this is what we have to avoid. This is the real problem, not having college football and basketball coaches who are making more and more money cry about how my locker room won't like each other. People aren't paid the exact same amount. How does any organization work if everyone doesn't get the same? Like, they all turn into Marxists. Or we got to, like, your arguments don't make any sense. They're not going to work. It's never going to, like, they just wasted time. If you go in and be like, look, it, we want to do this, this, this. We admit we're going to have to do this. We find a common ground. We got to keep them from being employees because the minimum wage will wreck more sports than need to. You could find a clear, smart path here, and everybody's going to lose a little and everyone's going to win a lot. Instead, they just went coaches, whatever the coaches want. Mm-hmm. And as I've said before, they're not. I heard a coach say, "I am a deep thinker." I called them not deep thinkers recently. Got a little blowback on that one, but that's all right. Anyway, yep. I mean, we got people trying to rent the blimp. I think the football is Harry's best. They aren't writing in to say, "What are we going to do about this?" Yeah. It's tough. The model doesn't work anymore. But you got to be honest with that. Anything else, Pat, on this?
No. Other than I will say, like, what we have always heard is, yes, the alarmist cry is that we're just going to run out of money, and it's never ever been true. It may eventually be true if House versus the NCAA gets passed with triple damages and all that business.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
you know what was the thing? The pandemic is going to ruin us. We are going to be out of money. Mm-hmm. How did that turn out? Mm-hmm. How did that turn out? Let's check Lincoln Riley's contract and Brian Kelly's contract and Mario Cristobal's contract.
Jimbo.
Coming out of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's check the ratings. Let's check attendance. Okay. Right. And now that's since then, NIL is we're not going to have enough money. There's always been the alarmist, immediate alarmist cry, and it's never been true.
They always scream against every bit of change through the years, and it's never true. Bet on football. Right. We were supposed to be out of fans at this point. TV ratings and money. We got the hot. I saw viewership's up 50% across the board. Okay. Parity. We got more teams in this race at the end than ever.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And we just gave Jimbo 77 to go to one of his two ranches.
By the way, did you guys see while we were on the pod? There was just some news that broke. Former Colorado running back Alex Fontenot filed a class action lawsuit against the NCAA in Power Five leagues over the financial model. And this is from Matt Baker with the Tampa Bay Times. Guess what's mentioned in the filing?
Jimbo.
Jimbo's buyout. Mm-hmm. It took 1 week for Jimbo's buyout to be mentioned in a lawsuit. And by the way, Pat mentioned something, reminded me, I didn't answer my own question earlier. I was asking why this is happening now. Why are leagues taking steps to look at these models right now? And it's because of the House case, right? Pat mentioned the House case. And right now there is a divide forming between schools that can and cannot afford to make payments if the House case is settled or lost. And that is going to be the final wedge between the have and have nots. And Damon Evans said something pretty jarring. You don't hear this either from a lot of folks. If we are going to pay the freight for the House case, he said, then why are we sharing the revenue to that extent?
Yeah.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. And then he's got to worry about if Michigan, Ohio State go, if we got to pay the freight for the House case, why are we sharing it with Maryland?
Yes,
that's
exactly.
Correct. Absolutely. Exactly. And we already see that in the ACC, right?
Oh,
we're already seeing that with the ACC realignment with the big, you know, all that stuff. So,
sure. It gets for sure. All right, let's get to something we can really debate. It's Thanksgiving. Laugh story. We'll pick the games on the second episode this week or later the week. It's Thanksgiving. Cook your turkey. We have an option here. Popeyes. Popeye's Cajun style turkey, not the just go get some chicken sandwiches. Mm. Popeye's, you go down to Popeye's, 50 starts at 59, although a lot of the reviews here say it goes to 100.
$59?
Yeah, for a turkey.
Okay.
I don't know
so
how
it's
big
a real live turkey. This isn't
the
just
full
some
turkey. They season it in Cajun style.
A real live turkey.
No, well,
I hope
real
it's a live turkey
okay,
running around being injected with Cajun seasoning.
Out back by the dumpster, you know, they got a little fence usually. There's a bunch of turkeys running around.
Just shooting up these turkeys with some Cajun Tony Chacheries.
I'm pretty sure no one knows what happens in the back room of a Popeye's.
No, nor do we want to.
The chicken sandwich is delicious. Who cares? Anyway, you could buy a Popeye's pre-cooked, and then you just have to heat it up, Cajun-style turkey. Go down to your local pop. You got to order it. Can't just show up in the drive-through and hope the high school kid there or whatever.
drive-through turkey. A drive-through turkey.
Okay. I have the reviews, but first thought, would you get the Popeyes? I mean, obviously get a grocery store. A lot of people will make their make the turkey for you, but Popeyes is in on it. I've never seen a fast food joint jump in on this. Would you do it, Pat?
I mean, the one thought is Popeyes makes good chicken.
Yeah.
But I don't want my local Popeyes even messing with cooking turkeys. Like where at that facility are they cooking a turkey? What are they putting it in?
I mean, you can fry it. They got fryolators.
Yeah, I don't know. I do not know. No. As much as I like Popeyes, and as much as I champion them as the winners of the chicken wars, I am not getting my Thanksgiving turkey from Popeyes. No, thank you.
I grew up on the turkey where you Cajun, you know, you insert the Cajun butter into the bird. I mean, that's how my family did it. That's how my wife now does it when she does turkey. So I'm fine with it. I'd rather do it myself, but it can't be bad, right? Nothing from Popeyes is bad. And I don't know. I don't want to know what they do in the kitchen and where these things are. But I mean, the red beans are amazing. The mashed potatoes are amazing. The biscuits are amazing. The chicken's amazing. The Cajun turkey is probably really good.
Well, there seems to be a debate on that.
Oh, no. The one bad thing Popeyes does is Cajun turkey, Dan?
54% of reviews on Amazon. I don't know. Could you buy a... I mean, this seems weird. You could buy a Popeyes Cajun fried chicken via... You could buy anything on Amazon. I don't know. I guess. Does it come out of the warehouse? Like, what is like the driver pick it up?
Wait a minute. And they're already available in time for people to have reviews for Tuesday?
There's reviews. 54% gave it either 4 stars or 5. Nobody gave it a 3. Nobody gave it a 2. 46% 1 star. So it is a
hit or miss.
Yes.
And see, that's surprisingly the problem. Yeah. You're going to Popeyes in Scottsbluff, Nebraska, Romulus, Michigan. I mean, what are you really getting? How Cajun is your Cajun turkey there?
Fair enough. Others say
stick to the southern Popeyes. Yeah,
people are claiming the turkey is boiled, not fried.
Oh,
don't want that.
They boil it and then season it, and then you're supposed to heat it up. I don't know. I mean, you get all sorts of stuff. Chuck C here. My wife's uncle would cook a turkey for us. It was the best turkey on the planet. When he passed away a couple of years, we tried to wing it. Tried to fix a turkey myself. Bad idea. We ordered turkey from local restaurants. No flavor. Went to the Popeyes Cajun Fried. Closest location about an hour away. Where the hell do you live, dude?
Not in the South.
It took 3 days of thawing time in the fridge and then 90 to cook in the oven. It was incredible. So... And then the next one, not fried, bought 2 of these for $100. What a mistake. They're obviously boiled, not fried. So buyer beware. You know, but I'm intrigued.
I'm not going to be a buyer. If any of our listeners do buy, let us know.
Please let us know if you get the Popeyes Cajun fried turkey and the whole experience. Like, do you get it at the drive-through? Do you have to go at least in? Do they ship it? How does this work? What happens? Popeyes has been cutting edge before. Maybe they figure it out. They started all this chicken sandwich war. You can also just get the sides, which I think would be also a good idea.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So, anyway, we hope you all have a good Thanksgiving. We'll have another episode out before Thanksgiving. We're going to pick these games. So, we will hope you continue to subscribe. And share us on social media, and we will talk to you later.